When Paul rang me up and asked me to preach here, I was very, very happy. I'm excited about coming here. You're my friends, and I think you know that too. Today we have several new friends here. Ruth from America, and we also have some Chinese friends. I just want you to know that I can speak some Chinese. 我可以讲一点点的普通话，我是广东人，讲的马马虎虎，我现在要讲英语，anyway, now, at least you know I can speak some. I'm Cantonese. My Cantonese is better than my Mandarin. Okay. Oh, by the way, we're staying with the Tongs. And Lynette and myself have a little hobby that we like to show it to you. It is a song called God's Way is the Best Way. You can see we're not professionals, but still we try. I'd like to talk to you. Here is a topic that I find very, very interesting. As I read through the Bible, there is God's covenant that runs right through the entire Bible. And from time to time, people say to us, how come you guys are keeping the old covenant when we are living in the new covenant time? And I feel it is something that we need to clear up in our minds. And I feel that we should really have a good look at it. Now, first of all, by the way, I've got some Chinese friends here. And I particularly chose to use the bilingual PowerPoint, so at least my friends get the maximum benefit of this. What on earth is a covenant? It's not a modern word that we use. Now, I'm just going to have a word of prayer with you before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we pray the Holy Spirit will be here to bless and to guide. Help us understand the topic on hand, that Jesus may be uplifted and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. What is a covenant? A covenant is basically an agreement. If I say to a neighbor boy, would you like to do my lawn and I'll pay you $20? Now that's a very generous offer. Now, if he just does the front lawn and said, money please. I said, no, the lawn is front and back. Okay, the whole thing. If you don't do it, you don't get your money. And so, it's a formal agreement, actually. But covenant between God and man is a very sacred covenant, an agreement. However, we can't propose a covenant. But we can't say, look, if I go to church, will you please let me go into heaven? No way. Doesn't work that way. Okay? Now, if I say, if I pay my tithe, would you like me to go to heaven? No, doesn't work that way. Okay? People, we cannot propose a covenant to God. Only God can propose a covenant to us. Okay? So it is an agreement of love. All right? How many covenants are there? Well, just to let you know, let's go to Hebrews and we read a tiny bit of it. All right. Now, Hebrews chapter 8. We will begin with verse 6 on. Okay? Now, let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 on. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he was also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now tell me, how many covenants are there? All right. Could you say that again? Two? Well, guess what? It pays to answer up and get it right. All right. Now, some people think it's first. It's quite obvious we get this clear. How many think there's only one? How many thinks there are two? Well, I was trying to put you off by reading those. Let's have continue on verse 8. Because finding fault with it, he says. Does that what it says? Is that in your Bible? It's not in your Bible. So, the fault is not with the covenants. Let's do that. Finding fault with them. Oh. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Okay. Now, so obviously there was a fault. By the way, does God propose a faulty covenant? No. The thing is this, just like that young man who's supposed to be mowing my lawn, he didn't do a good job, therefore he doesn't get paid. Is that fair enough? And so, okay, he says, look, I'll never ever mow your lawn again. You can, and then I said, okay, I'll get someone else to do it. Now, the Bible speaks about a new covenant. A new covenant, or first covenant. And then the Bible talks about an old covenant. In fact, in the Chinese Bible, the Old Testament is called the Old Covenant. And the New Testament is called the New Covenant. So we are now living in the New Covenant time. Okay? And are we, Adventists, keeping the Old Covenant? Now, the Bible talks about Genesis 17, 13. Let's have a look at Genesis 17, verse 13. By the way, all the texts are supposed to be in that little handout, which makes a wonderful bookmark. Okay? 17, verse 13. I shall read that for you. He who is born in your house, he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. The Bible talks about an everlasting covenant. So if it's everlasting, it's pretty good. Well, the Bible talks about an old one and a new one. Now we're in trouble, aren't we? To illustrate this, I'm going to get my driver's license out. When I was 18, I got my license. And it's been renewed, renewed, and renewed. And I'm glad I got this because it's a 10-year one. Otherwise, they say, oh, you're getting too old. You need to have that a test again. But no, it's been renewed and renewed. As long as I don't break the law, I'm going to have my license for the rest of my life. It's the same license. Okay. So, basically, there is only one license. One covenant. That's yours. It's a music one. Come get it. Free. Isn't that good? All right. Basically, there's only one covenant, and it is renewed and renewed and renewed. And so, what was the matter with the old one? Because one of the covenant keepers, that's human beings, didn't do the good job, didn't do the right thing. And so God says, okay, I will make a new one. All right. There's a covenant in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. God promised man that he would help them. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Man was told not to eat the fruit Now, tell me, was the fruit poisonous? Was the fruit bad stuff? No. God says, don't do it. Chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. But of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now don't do it, otherwise you will die. That is what God says. Is it bad? No. It's just inappropriate in their young, inexperienced life. They were not to have it because it's not good for them. And later on, the devil says, ha, you're wrong. That fruit is really super good. If you eat it, you're going to be very clever. Your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods. You will be as gods. That means human beings will become God. Now, the Bible talks about the plan of salvation when God became man and he died to save us. There's the difference. The devil's idea was totally opposite. Let's read in verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. By the way, we'll read verse 1. Now the serpent was very cunning, more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? By the way, if you come to my house and you say, oh, you've got a few books. I say, yes, I do. Would you like to take one? Now, if they're all English books, what language do you have by way of choice? Zero choice. You don't have any choice. You come to my home and you pick a book, it has to be in English. But if I have one book in Chinese, you do have a choice, don't you? You say, well, would you like Chinese or English book? So, oh, I love a Chinese one. I haven't read a Chinese book for a while. And so God, in respecting human beings with the freedom of choice, says, you can eat anything you like, but there's one tree you do not eat. And it's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I understand. Let me give you an illustration. I moved into a house in Sydney. It wasn't my house. It was rented. And the owner said, oh, don't worry about the garage door. I said, what's happened to the garage door? Well, one day, my daughter came to me and said, Dad, can I please have the car keys? What for? Oh, you backed the car too close to the garage and I want to get my books from the boot of the car. Yep, you can do that. Now, when you go to the car, she was having trouble opening the boot. So she said, I know, I'll just move the car a little bit, just a tiny bit. She's seen it 1,000 times. You know how to do it, don't you? You crank, you turn the engine on, you put the gear on, and the car goes forward, and you turn it off. It's easy. I've seen it 1,000 times. So she turned the thing on, and she put it in gear, and it went boom like this. She forgot to put the brake on, when she put that in gear. And the car surged forward, bang, straight onto the garage door. So the garage door has a bulge on it. And that explains. Does she know how to do it? Yes. Well, how come she made a mistake? Lack of experience. Get it? Now, there are some programs on TV. The government says adults only. Mature people only. If you're 17 and older, you may watch it, but if you are under 17, you don't watch that. No, I don't even watch it, okay? Bad stuff. All right. That's what it means. And God says, I don't want you to do it because it's not good for you. Now, let's look at that again. Chapter 2, verse 17 says, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat it, for in the day you eat it, you will die. Now, chapter 3, verse 3 says, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God says, you shall not eat of it, nor you touch it, lest you die. The devil says, you won't die, and verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The devil says, you won't die, and God says, you will die. Now, the question is, did Adam and Eve die on the day they ate it? They did die. Can I tell you why? It is like a battery that is disconnected from the alternator. Did you know the battery is a dying battery? You light a candle. Is that candle alive or is that candle dead? It is not dead. It is a dying candle. Dying candle. And a battery that has been left on is a dying battery. And the day we separated our connection with God, we are dying. 70. How many of you are 70? Well, there's only you and me. Three of us. Oh, and that, four of us. Ah, there you go. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. We are limited, aren't we? We are limited. And we are dying. And the moment, you know, you wind up a clock. I have a clock that I wind up once a month. Once a month. Always on the first day of the month. I wind it up yesterday because I want it to keep going for 1 month. It's a dying thing. It will die. If I don't wind it up next month, it will stop. That's what happened to us. We are dying. Okay? Now, Adam and Eve were clothed with a skin. And Adam and Eve were very embarrassed. I mean, you go to meet the most important person in the universe. Who's that? God. And God says, I'm coming to visit you, and you haven't got any clothes on. Is it embarrassing? Very embarrassing. Isn't that right? And so they said, well, I don't have any clothes on. And would you like to read it? Chapter 2, verse 25. They were... That's not right. They were naked. And so when God said to them... And let me just read that for you. They made a garment for themselves. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So they said, it's embarrassing. I don't have any clothes on. And so they took some leaves and made some covering on. And it wasn't too bad then. And God, you know what God did? God made them some clothes. Okay. God says, what have you got there? He said, oh, that's our lamb. It follows me everywhere. God says, I want you to kill it. Kill it? Yes, kill it. Adam and Eve saw blood for the first time ever. Prior to that, they never saw blood. It was awful to kill a lamb, and they saw blood running down their arms. Was awful. And they said, okay, I want you to skin this lamb. And God made a garment for the boy and a garment for the girl. Said, that makes you acceptable to me. From now on, as long as you have that garment, that skin, you're okay. Because my son has died for you. So you live forever with me. You can come home with me. Isn't that wonderful? That is marvelous. That is the covenant. It is a symbol of righteousness. And it's spelled Durm. Would you like to see verse 15? Chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and I will bruise his heel. Now, if I have a friend with any of you, I'll probably lose because I'm not very big and I'm not very strong. But you know something? If I have a broken head and the one who fights with me has a broken foot, who won? The one with the broken foot won. Because the head is very important. Jesus crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. He is a loser. And if you become a Christian, you are on the winning side. Isn't that good? That is good. Okay, and God says, I will make a garment for you, and you will live forever. Now, the promised Savior is yours, the seed of the woman. Doctor, all of us are the result of man and woman. But Jesus is the seed of the woman because he is the only one that doesn't have all the bad genes in his system. Did you know that? He would be victorious. He would be a winner. And we too, if we join with him, he suffered for us, and he was to deliver a crushing blow to Satan, and because of that, we are going to live forever. Now, I can talk about the Ark of the Covenant, but I'm going to talk about the Ark, Ark of Safety. Did you know Noah was asked to build a boat? And that boat, He took a long time to build, 120 years. That boat represents Jesus. And if we are in Jesus, we are saved. Whoa, what have I done? Okay, only a handful of people responded, and they were saved because they're inside the ark. Huh? There's the boat. It's a big boat for an old man to build. Okay? But he did it. It took him a long time doing it. People thought he was crazy. Ha! You go in there, the animals will eat you up because there are wild animals in there. But that boat, that word is the ark. And that is eight. That is people. Now let's get that right. The ark with eight people, that is the first boat that was ever built. Isn't that good? You like that? Yeah. Is that in the simplified language too? Or you can read it just the same, okay? And so that is the boat. Now, I can talk about Abraham. He had only one boy. And his name Abraham means the father of many nations. But he says, I don't even have one boy. And God says, don't worry, you'll get a boy. He was 99 years of age. And when his son was born, he was 100. And he loved his boy, Isaac. His only begotten son. I like the word begotten son. You know, that just reminds me of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only son. His son was to be sacrificed. Can you imagine how you feel? I mean, human sacrifice is not on. Huh? And by the way, human beings are not clean animals. I don't have potted hoof, and I don't chew the cud. I don't even chew chewing gum. Okay? And to say that we have to kill that person. And the son says, Dad, there's a fire. By the way, they didn't carry a box of matches. They had a little pot full of charcoal and ashes on top. And if you blow it hard enough, put a bit of dry grass, you can get a fire. There's the fire. There's the wood. Where is the sacrifice? And his words were, God will provide a sacrifice himself. And they were more or less prophetic. Huh? They were, by the way, Abraham couldn't sleep thinking about killing his boy. God says, I want you to sacrifice your boy. He couldn't sleep. At night, he looked up in the sky and there were thousands and thousands of stars. And he says, your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. As they walked along, 3 days they walked. His head was down. He was thinking, how am I going to face my wife? Huh? Where's the boy? Oh, I killed him. What did you do? Why? He kept looking on the path. And God, he was kicking the sand. And God says, your descendants will be as the sands of the seashore. How can I? My only boy. Now, it's not in my notes, but would you like to look at Hebrews chapter 11? You know what he concluded? He says, if I kill my boy, God's going to make him come alive again. God's to make him come alive again. Here we go. Verse 19. Well, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. It's in past tense. Did he actually offer him up? No. But he was about to, and he was willing to do it. Offered up Isaac, he who had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluded that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Isaac was a type. Isaac represented Jesus, who died on Friday, and he rose on Sunday. Huh? God raised him up. And so he says, I know God can do anything. If I kill my boy, he's going to come up again. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And there you are. I know it sounds pretty bad, but that's what it was like. In the terms of the covenant, now, I read through the Bible. By the way, I didn't get all this from any book. It took me a while to figure it out. But I found out the terms of the covenant are the most repeated verse in the entire Bible. Would you believe it? And I say to myself, John, how dumb can you be? Huh? It took you 30 years as a minister to discover this. But it goes through the entire Bible like a golden thread. Now, would you like, I've got them all there, 23 times in the Bible. It's repeated 23 times. And I've got them all there. You know what they are? Tell me. Who knows? I'll be your God and you'll be my people. Huh? That's what it is. Now, what does your God do for you? I want you to tell me that. What does your God do for you? Please, please tell me, quick. Otherwise, we'll be here for a long time. And I don't want that. Yes? Okay, God saves us. God saves me. All right. What else does God do for you? He heals. Yes, he does heal us. Yes? He restores us. He gives us laws to live by. That means he guides us. Doesn't that right? Now look, I'm just going to go through that. God protects. God saves. God provides. God leads. God loves. Huh? That is what God does for me from heaven down here. What do I do for God? Please tell me. What do you do for God? Obey. That's a good one, isn't it? You obey. What else do you do? Trust. That's a good one. I like that. Love. Someone said love. Yep. As for his people, we follow. That's why we are called Christians. Followers of Jesus. We obey, we trust, we worship, we love. And that is going the other way. Isn't that right? Now, when the two go together, we are, you know, that's how we worship God. That's why we're here. And because Jesus died for us. The most repeated terms of the covenant is, I will be your God and you will be my people. One for everyone. Now, there you have it. Everybody. Now these are the, and I can only read three of them because they're identical. Word for word. Now let's go to Exodus. That's why I underline them. You know, that's why I underline them. Okay, Exodus 6, 7. Exodus 6, 7. Verse 7. I will take to you, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I'm the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and so on. Now, there's another one, Hebrews 8, 10. And I began with that. And I just want you to know, people who say, ha, you Seventh-day Adventists keeping the old covenant. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, please. Hebrews chapter 8. This is what we're talking about. Verse 10. We have read 9 before. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. But you say, I'm not Israel, I'm not Jewish. I'm Chinese, I'm Aussie. Or whatever. But the thing is this. When you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are seed of Abraham. Galatians. Huh? You have inherited all the blessings from God. Because. So I'm no longer Chinese. I am part of the family of God. My nationality is up there. Okay, I will make with the house of Israel after those days, I will put my law in their minds, and I'll write them in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go to the last one. That is the consummation of the entire covenant. The covenant is a process. Jesus says, I die for you, but one day the ultimate fulfillment of that covenant is we will live in heaven. By the way, to my Chinese friends, Australia is not heaven. I'll tell you why. There are hospitals. Doctor, nurse, there are sick people. Not only do they get sick, but they die. That's the scary part about it. And I am getting so old. I've had 7 years bonus after the 60 and 10. 6 years bonus. That's amazing, isn't it? Huh? Now, Revelation 21. The last book in the Bible, second last chapter. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. God says, I will fulfill that, and one day you will see me face to face, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. That is, How about a covenant with God? Would you like to receive the seal of God? That is, boom, you belong to me. To show that you belong to him, you really love him and obey him. Would you like to say, yes, I love Jesus. I want to go home and live with God forever. Because Australia is not heaven. There are jails, there are baddies, and there are cemeteries, dead people, there are hospitals. And one day, doctor, you and I will retire. No jobs for sick people, no jobs for doctors, no jobs for ministers, because I don't have to preach at all. By the way, as it is, I don't get paid to preach. I'm just a lay person. Okay? A day will come when we don't have to do any of that. We'll have a good holiday, flying from one planet to another. It will be marvelous. And I'm so glad that your response is, yes, I'd like to be there one day. May God bless you all. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. Father, we pray you please bless us. Help us to walk with you. May we, Father, trust in you and be obedient to you. May the Ten Commandments be written in our minds and in our hearts, so we will always obey you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray.